The reading this morning is taken from John chapter 8 and follows from verse 12 to verse 47. Truth diagnosis. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Jesus spoke to them and said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "If you are talking about yourself, then what you say isn't true." Jesus answered, "If I do tell you about myself, what I say is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You are inclined to judge people based on your own ideas, but I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, "So where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He said this at the treasury as he taught in the temple. Surprisingly, no one arrested him, even though they were very annoyed, because Jesus' hour had not yet come. "The truth will set you free." So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave cannot stay in the owner's house forever, but his son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, because my words just annoy you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you think you've heard from your Father. So let's deal with that. Your father is the devil." This is a somewhat provocative statement. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you'd be doing the works Abraham did, as he was a great man of faith. But now you want to kill me, the man who has told you the truth that I've heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I did not come of my own accord, but God sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and quite naturally, you want to do what your father wants. Let me tell you, he was a murderer from the beginning and cannot stand the truth, because he does know what truth is. He lies because he can't tell the truth, for he is the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." This didn't go down very well.
Some say that we are in the post-truth age. Have you heard that? Yes, that's right. We're in the post-truth age because so many things have happened that have undermined our trust in what people say. We've seen problems with governments, haven't we? We've seen MPs on the take, and then we've had problems with the monetary situation. Has anybody ever had a call for PPI? No. And they say it was mis-selling. We wrap it up into a nice word, don't we? Mis-selling. It was a lie. And then we have other things that are now coming up that are causing instability in the financial world, and they are called PCPs and PCHs, and they are the mechanism which we buy cars. Apparently, we've borrowed $30 billion to buy cars, and that's more than the national health budget. Isn't that incredible? But the thing is, once again, it's being lent to people who have no ability to pay, and it's going to cause a problem. So, as I go on to depress you further, insurance. Anybody ever try to make an insurance claim? There's always a little bit there that they sneakily get out of, don't they? You know, you buy a washing machine and it says warranty for 2 years for whatever happens. After a couple of months, it breaks down and you ring up the company and you say, the washing machine has broken down. Sir, might I ask you what you've been using it for? I've actually been using it for washing my clothes. Ah, have you read the small print? Everything else is covered apart from washing your clothes. And you see, we get into a situation where we don't believe anything, do we? I have a huge excess on my car insurance policy because I know that any small claims, they're going to wriggle out of in any case. So you might as well pay, mind you. But yeah, let's have a look at this. And we will know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. And I'm saying that we need the truth doctor. The Lord Jesus Christ, in my view, is the truth doctor. And we need some remedy there. And I've even brought an ambulance with me for emergency treatment for those having difficulty with the truth. Let's have a look at the next slide. Have you ever had this? You've won £100,000. Give me your bank details to receive a prize. Just looking around at any worried faces in case you've decided to accept that one. But the other thing that it seems that we constantly have calls from somebody called Michael. And because it's politically incorrect now to imitate an accent, but Michael comes on and says things like, would I be speaking, please, sir, with the person who is in control of the household, because I'm Michael from Microsoft, and you have a serious computer problem, and you must now allow me to connect your computer to our systems. Had that call, have you? Be careful if you did, because it doesn't sound like Michael to me. Oh, but sir, I've got Michael in the back of my vest. Ah, you shouldn't rely on that. You shouldn't rely on that. And the other one, this I find, I keep getting this call. This is the middle of August. Now that winter is here, you've had it, yes. Now that winter is here, you need to have new double glazing under the government's new initiative. And the latest one I've been getting is BT Openreach. This one wasn't a Michael, it was a Rachel, but I don't think it sounded like a Rachel. But she was saying that she's ringing from Openreach and that my broadband had been going slow. Well, that's a fairly good guess, isn't it? Yeah, it's like people who foretell the future, you know, you will have good times and bad times. Yes, okay, yes, you probably will. And of course, when she says your broadband's been going slow, I've said, oh, yes, and I have a little chat with her, because I've resolved not to be rude, because I tell you a little story why it's not wise to be rude often, because it isn't the people who are doing this, it is the people behind them, isn't it? There's the wicked ones, and these people are trying to scratch a living. But the Openreach one, once again, is that it must connect. Now, I've found the answer to this one, and you see, this is not only of the spiritual benefit here, but I'm giving you all sorts of helpful information how to deal with this. The answer is, oh, yes, you were absolutely right. My broadband is going slow. Now, what's your phone number? Because I'm going to ring you back to make sure you're from Openreach. Well, the last one, the young lady got really cross with me. How dare you? You will not ring me back. No, you won't. And then the phone went dead. So I thought, oh, that's the way to cure that one. Refund from HMRC. Be careful on that one. And finally, I get a regular email from the Halifax Building Society that says my account is being locked. I have never, ever had an account with the Halifax Building Society. So we don't have a problem with that. But we have a dear friend in church, close friend of Phoebe's, and she's one of these women who can communicate the gospel. Do you know some people are just so natural, aren't they, in communicating the gospel? So she received one of these calls one day, and it was about some sort of survey. And of course, she's not naive. She knew that it was sort of a scam. And she said, yes, dear, because she talks to people like, yes, my dear, I will help you with your survey, but I want to talk to you about something first. Is that all right? Oh, yes, you'll carry on. And so she says, have you heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you heard about what he's done for us? And much to her surprise, he said, oh, lady, oh, yes, I do. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't that, you know, a complete turnaround? So what I'm saying is that sometimes there is a spiritual dimension to these calls. But I'm going to contrast this now with the other side of the coin. Because on one side we've got, my name is Michael, and we don't believe it. But on the other side we've got, my name is God with us. And the Word became a person, and he came to live with us. And we saw his glory. It was the glory of the Son of God, the only Son of the Father, and he was full of grace and truth. So we're now getting into reliable sort of territory there. Let's have a look at the next little sign. Now, has anyone here heard of Donald Trump? Anybody not heard of Donald Trump? He's a well-known American comedian. The only trouble is he's the president of the United States. And he's introduced this idea of fake news. Everything is fake news, isn't it? Everything. When the truth hurts, and some people say, if the truth bit you in the bottom, you still wouldn't accept it. And I think this little cartoon is saying that. And he's saying it's true, it's biting me. But it's still fake news, and I refuse to recognize it. Now, here is an old-fashioned statement. Comes back from my childhood, and it's one that we sort of we airbrush it a bit now, and it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now let's just get over it and accept that, because that is where we are. We can't airbrush it out, we can't reconstitute it in any way. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now what I've done, I'm going to just try and put it to you that you've got a little bit of Donald in you, and I've got a little bit of Donald in me. And I've taken some of his well-known statements, and you see if you don't identify with them. This is called the Donald within. I'm going to build a wall to stop the gospel getting in. Mark my words, no one builds a wall better than me. Who's going to pay for the wall? My neighbor is going to pay for the wall. I will borrow his lawnmower and keep it. I shall tell him how great I am and that he is useless. And next year I will ask him to service my lawnmower. And you know my grass will be beautiful. Yes, beautiful. I will feel really good about myself, and I will borrow my neighbor's car. And do you know what? His car is really beautiful, and I will keep that too. My beauty is that I am very rich. The point is, you can never be too greedy. Now, I have misapplied some of those statements, because these are based on statements he said. And I'm saying, you know, that we've all got a little bit of that denial in us, haven't we? Do you recognize that? You know, we will build a wall around ourselves. And he's famous for building walls. So, avoid the Donald within, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's face that one. Let's move on now. Because what surprised you, what will surprise you, is that scams are not new. Do you know what Jacob was called? I'm calling him the original scammer. The Bible says he was called the deceiver. And what is a scammer? It's a deceiver. Do you remember that Esau sold his inheritance for a pot of stew? And, I mean, that was a poor trade, wasn't it? And I think there was some flawed logic there. But he was daddy's boy. You know that Esau was daddy's boy, and his father always, as it were, his father Isaac always favored Esau. Now, Jacob was mummy's boy, Rebecca, his mother. And they committed identity theft, the original identity theft. And the identity theft was that he posed as his brother Esau. And they went to extremes. You know, they put goat's hair on his hands. And they rubbed him around in the soil so he smelled as if he'd been out doing some farming. What a length to go to. And at the reading, what I call the reading of the will, or when the father, you know, in those days used to pass on the blessing, it was verbal. At the reading of the will, he stole the birthright, didn't he? What an original scam was that. And as I say there, where there's a will, there will be relatives. And I'm sure you've all heard that one before. But let's learn some lessons from the history there. If you've got children and grandchildren, isn't it so important that we treat them exactly equal? Can you see how Isaac and Rebecca were so deeply in love with each other, but they worked against each other because they favoured other children? And of course, I've told you this before, that our grandchildren, I haven't told you this before because it didn't happen yet, our grandchildren are going to be 1 year old on the 6th of September. And they're identical. And they have the ability to tunnel out of anything. And we need rabbit-proof fencing around the bungalow to keep them in. But they look identical. But we see they've got different characters. Identical, but not exactly the same. And then I told you about this before. My daughter, who is 43, had a surprise. And we now have another grandchild. A son called Samuel. Why was he called Samuel? Ah, yes. Do you remember Samuel in the temple? It was a surprise at that time, and it was a surprise to my daughter. But so we have these grandchildren, and we have a granddaughter as well. And the ability to treat equally is so important, I believe. So let's learn these little histories, little lessons from history. Now, I'm going to talk to you about a big scam. Let's have a look at this. A really big scam. The Tower of Babel. Do you remember the Tower of Babel? Do you remember what happened? The language was confused. And they said, we will reach God. God said, no, you can't. We will build a tower to reach God. And now, this is what I found quite surprising. Can you see, on one side of the screen, you've got the Tower of Babel as it was pictured in the artist's impression. And then, on the other side, we've actually got the Parliament in Strasbourg. And they say, where Babel failed, we will succeed. That's the EU. I got a feeling there that God will say, no, you can't. And I don't know why a secular organization would have challenged, as it were, God in that way. Can you see that's a really strange happening, isn't it? A secular organization saying that where Babel failed, we will succeed. That's old fake news. Now, why I say that it won't succeed is because we're culturally different. Now, let's look at the Germans. Wir loves the rules. Oh, yes, we must comply with the rules, apart from Volkswagen, of course. And of course, that is a national stereotype. And the French says, oh, mais oui, we love the rules too, but they are for the British to keep them in control. They are not for us. Can you see the national stereotypes? How, as a stereotype, we're not going to talk the same language. And the Spanish say, the rules are tomorrow. And then if you go to Holland, rules? I'm sorry, we're not knowing what the rules are. No, we have no rules. And then you come to Britain, and because, we hate the rules and we comply with them all the time. Do you know I'm so cross I'm going to write to my MP about it? Now, throughout Europe, how are all those different cultural stereotypes going to come together and succeed where Babel failed? I just got the actual pitch coming up now, of which is the Parliament in Strasbourg. Isn't it incredible that Peter Behugel did that old painting, and then Martin Roban actually designed that building based on that? Don't you find that absolutely incredible? Are we being persuaded to believe a lie? It looks like it, doesn't it? Let's have a little look further on. And there I've been depressing you, but here we are. Look, I bring you the good news. But as Christians, we look forwards. Yes, we can reach God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see where the system went wrong with the fake news? But here we can reach God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus suffered outside the city gate. And I've got that there as outside the political establishment. He suffered out there. To make us holy through his own blood, let us with him go outside the self-interest culture. Can we step outside the self-interest? It's very difficult, isn't it? Then step outside the camp, sharing the risks with him. For here, now this is it, we have no continuing city, but we are looking for a city that is to come. Let us, through Jesus, offer to God a sacrifice of praise by openly professing his name. Now, can you see where that takes us into a different sort of thought pattern? Worrying about the political situation, worrying about the loss of truth and trust in the world. Yes, all these things, as Christians, we hold them into a perspective which says, for here we have no continuing city. We have something better to look forward to. And then just to finally bring this to a conclusion, this is Moses and Exodus. And Moses had to say to the people, Exodus means Exodus. You may have heard somebody else saying something similar recently about Brexit means Brexit. But this is Moses saying to the children of Israel, do you know the children of Israel were wrapped up in the Egyptian culture? I know they were slaves, but not all of them were slaves, because many of them were enjoying a rather lavish lifestyle. And they worshipped people and they worshipped things. Now, isn't that strange that such a strange civilization doing strange things about worshipping people and things? We'd never do that today, would we? We wouldn't worship Rihanna, would we? She's a well-known pop star, by the way. Yeah. But strangely enough, people do, don't they? They have only Rihanna on their minds. And Beyoncé. This is for the gentlemen, you see. Rihanna and Beyoncé. Things that you may worship, because I have no interest in myself. But for the ladies, we have Ed Sheeran. And he comes from Framlingham. Did you know that? Yes, and we worship him in Framlingham. Yes. Can you see how the culture... Now, it's good to enjoy these things, but it's a fine step to worshiping them. And they also worshipped material things. Now, you'll wonder, why do I know this? that the D-type Jaguar driven by Ron Flockhart in the 1955 Le Mans race, which won the Le Mans race in 1955, was sold for $19.8 million. Now, does that suggest that they might be worshipping? $19.8 million. But there again, why do I know that and I don't know about Beyoncé? Can you see where we all drift? And also, for those who have other interests, you may actually be worshipping Wayne Rooney. Yes, yes, greatest footballer ever. Oh, Wayne Rooney. And can you see, I'm just trying to, you know, get this where we actually coincide with the popular beliefs. Everything is good, but when it replaces God, it's something completely different. So, make us a channel of your peace. Exodus means exodus. And for the Christians, it means we actually have a different outlook on life. So, with that thought in mind, we conclude.